relationships, sex, passion. With Dr. Lori Petito. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Welcome to Passion, a show all about love, sex, and relationships. Tonight on the program, well, it is all about kink, really, alternative sexuality. It's a monthly feature where we explore the different ways people express their passion for sex. So tonight you can ask your questions about BDSM. Some of you still wonder what that stands for. Bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, or bondage, discipline, domination, submission, masochism. However you want to, what was that?
Discipline.
Discipline, yeah. And to help us out here, because they know a whole lot more than I do about this topic, Catherine and Pierre of BDSMCircle.com. They are the go-to people, I'd say, in at least in Quebec, in Canada, possibly North America, who know a whole lot about this subject, who are practitioners.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you.
And you're our biggest fan.
Well, I'm a fan of, and I'll tell you why I'm a fan. I want to just make that clear for our listeners. I'm not a fan of BDS. It has nothing to do with the subject matter, but it has to do with talking to people who are open and who are educated about a topic and who are able to transmit that information to the population in a way that the rest of us can understand, something that is often not just
mysterious.
Taboo, mysterious, very mysterious, and very misunderstood.
There are so many misconceptions that it's quite an honor to be able to come here and talk to people and to be able to answer some questions, because there's so many people out there that have these feelings that get so mixed up. Society tells you one thing. It's like, you know, am I mentally ill? Is there something me? I'm, you know, why would I want to be abused? It just doesn't make sense. And yet this excites me.
Right.
And, you know, people who aren't mentally ill, functioning, everyday people, you know, professionals from all walks of life practice BDSM, and they do it in a healthy way.
And there's a healthy way to do it. And this is the part that people don't quite get or may need a little bit of convincing. Mm-hmm. So this is why for the last few years I decided that once a month I really did want to focus on these issues, that we could stretch the boundaries a little bit more. And even though it doesn't necessarily apply to most of our listeners, only a small portion of our listeners may be involved in this, the interest level, though, or the curiosity about it, and, you know, just finding out about what something means, so that we don't hear comments as was made, you know, by certain people in high positions that were ignorant, just frankly quite ignorant and not based on anything. And as you found offensive.
She's still angry.
I know. Catherine's angry. Listen, I promised you guys that you would get a chance to talk about 50 Shades on this show. And we talked about it. You know,
you were on here
pre-movie, and we talked about it, and you guys talked about it when Kelly sat in for me, so that was really nice of you to do that with her, but we haven't talked together since. Now, I'm going to tell you honestly, I'm really sick of talking about it. however, because I love you guys, I want to give you your voice, and I will allow you to rant for a little bit about the subject and how your thoughts on it, and we'll revisit it for tonight, and then we bury it. How's that? Does everybody agree we bury it after that?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Good.
I think we should put handcuffs on it and bury it deep.
Oh, yeah, right. Let's not forget the handcuffs. Exactly. That's part of it. But you know what's interesting? Well, so many articles came out, and I know you did your research. I did mine, and you brought in today the Newsweek. Newsweek did an edition, like an entire special edition. It's called 50 Shades, Exploring the Sexual Revolution. It's actually quite good. There's quite a few good articles in here. And there's a couple of psychologists that weigh in on the whole 50 Shades phenomenon. But I just want to share a couple things, because they ask some really important questions that I think people just need to understand this, the difference between healthy and unhealthy. So one of the questions that was asked was, in what ways is Anna and Christian's relationship healthy? And here's the answer. Well, it's fiction, so one can't read too much into it. But I like that they each stay completely true to what they need, even when their needs are in collision. Serious conflict always occurs in a relationship sooner or later. And when it does, you have three choices. You can break up, you can just go on as if the problem doesn't exist, or you can face it while holding true to your needs. Usually this means suffering together until, through your own willingness to go beyond yourselves, you eventually find your way as a couple. 50 Shades captures something of the agony and the ecstasy of the process.
Oh, well
said. Isn't that well said?
That's really well said, and that's what it's about.
That's right. And now, in what ways is it unhealthy? It's important to keep in mind, I really like what they say here, that sexual domination is different from emotional domination. Being sexually dominated or fantasizing about it can be a great turn-on, but being emotionally dominated is ordinarily just abusive. Anna seems to understand the difference. She has no interest in being emotionally dominated, and she makes sure Christian knows it, but she's an idealized fictional character. She's well-educated, psychologically very strong, and economically independent. Many real women aren't so lucky. For most, it would be a serious mistake to get involved with such an emotionally dominating man. Most men like that won't change, not even after three volumes of great sex. Now, that's also a good point, because in the movie, he is sexually dominant, but that's consensual.
Cool.
There's nothing. Right. Mm-hmm. But people misinterpreted that, I think, to be beyond that. But there were parts where he crossed the line into emotional domination.
Yes, but she stood her ground.
No, it wasn't all part of it, because part of it was his own insecurities. They weren't really.
But I mean, that's part of BDSM to me.
It can be part of it.
And yes, I mean, it's like you can have sex without any emotional attachment at all, just regular, you know, everyday sex. Mm-hmm. Or you can have it where there's a big emotional attachment. It means all of these other things, and it symbolizes many things. Or you can just go for rolling hay. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's different things to different people, for sure. Right. But
what was your biggest beef? Or how are you feeling about this? Because you're still...
There are things that made you angry. Right? I didn't hate the movie. Probably what's come out of this that made me the most angry is that MP in Manitoba... Mm-hmm. Who basically poo-pooed the idea of consent, that a woman could not consent to this, and likened it to in the sex trafficking.
That was going a little far.
That it's basically they say they've given consent, but they don't really. And I found that so offensive. But it's like a straight woman saying, well, you know, a gay woman can't consent to sex with another woman because it's not something they can comprehend that they would like themselves. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I found that that she thought that women weren't capable of giving consent to BDSM, just downright offensive. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the biggest thing that of all this. I didn't think the movie was that bad. Mm-hmm. It was, to me, actually pretty mild. Mm-hmm. What they showed, it was pretty.
Well, we're talking to the, you know, two.
Well, yes, but I mean,
king and queen of BDSM.
Well, we're practitioners, and, mm-hmm. and you know, most people don't have a dungeon in their home. Granted, but
that's right.
First of all, I was really disappointed in the dungeon.
Is yours better than that?
No, but mine bloody well would be if I had $1 billion.
Right.
If I had a couple hundred thousand to put into it.
We changed the words to the "If I Had $1 million" song for sure. What would you get yourself? A better dungeon.
I was not impressed.
Yeah. We'll talk more about this and let Catherine and Pierre of BDSM Circle weigh in for the very last time that we'll talk about the 50 Shades, and then we will bury it. Right here on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
BDSM tonight, once a month, alternative sexuality with Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle. So if you have questions or comments for them and about bondage, discipline, submission, dominance, masochism, pain, sex, and pain, and all of that.
Then, kinky stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Kinky stuff. You can give us a call or text 514-790-0800 to call in. To text in, it's 514-800. Great text in. Yeah, very last time, in other words, that we're talking about. Until next February when they release the sequel. I don't know if I want to see it.
I will, because people will ask me about it, and I'll have to.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to be stuck in the same bloody
Absolutely.
Position. I was so disappointed the first time.
The second movie and the third movie is less about the sex and there's a little more action.
Well, that's what I was disappointed because it ended at the... I thought it was going to be the trilogy together. The movie was going to be all three. I know. Dream on.
I'm guessing four movies out of the trilogy
Actually,
myself,
they may do this.
But yeah.
But no, but it's true. Like, I thought... Because the first movie, there was no... The character development wasn't enough for me.
No.
And it was also misleading. If you only see this, then you might misinterpret for a lot of abuse. But if you go on, if you read the novel, she's in control.
But this is how the first one ends.
Yeah, I know.
But I was afraid of this because when you read the book, you can read their thoughts or what they're, you know. And the movie, they have to keep the rhythm. They have to keep it in a format which fits into a certain time.
Yeah, well, that little beating she took there, she freaked out. I think it was six strokes. I wanted to yell at her, shut up, you wimp, and please.
Stop. No?
It's like... It was like, oh, come on. It was like he gave her six slots. Oh, no.
Well, yeah, but at the end there?
Yes.
But that was harsh. That you didn't.
That's
and
fair.
She
that
had a safe word and she should have used it.
Yeah, she didn't use it.
She didn't use her safe
and
word.
And that's where the consent
and
issue came in.
She asked for it.
Yeah, she didn't use her safe word. She told him, go ahead, do it. And it's like, I'm sorry. He swatted on her butt. Oh, dear. Poor little her. Please.
But it looked like it was painful. I'm sorry to say.
She could have said, yeah, but she could have said something. It. She could have stomped something. It was consent. Had a safe word. What's your problem? Oh, give it up. Mm-hmm. I got pissed off at her at that point.
But right. that particular scene, if you read the book, you understand more what's happening there.
Right.
The way they did it, and if somebody watched this without reading the book, they're in trouble. They won't understand what's happening. And there's a few scenes like this in the movie. But, you know, for me, I was afraid that something like this would happen. Except I found that the movie was, in some ways, better than the book, as strange as it
sounds. I did not. I thought
no,
it was
No, but it was beautiful picture.
Boring.
And they were
They should have let him keep his Irish accent.
Frankly, you know, I thought the Christian Grey in my head was a hell of a lot better looking.
Oh, let him open his mouth. Have you seen him in the fall? Okay, let him open his mouth with that Irish accent. It's a whole new
They should have kept it.
Oh,
yeah.
God,
anyway,
yeah.
we have a text that says February 14, 2015, the opening of 50 Shades. November 14th, the arrival of all the 50 Shades babies, many named Christian or Anna.
actually, believe it or not, we're saying now people call Anna or Christian. Because they read the book, they're interested in BDSM, and it's a nightmare.
Oh, really? You've seen that a lot?
Well, it's starting, and here's the problem. People read this. It's beautiful when you read it. It's very sexual, very erotic. And then you have the magazine in your hands. People try things without doing the research, and they get hurt.
Yeah, that's what the backlash was to all of this, right?
And it's not finished, and this is my problem. Actually... When I did the research on the net, some BDSM group, if you mention to them that you're in it because of the book, they kick you out.
Really?
Oh, stupid.
Really?
Well, it's an extreme, but just to show you how it's
Well, they're little uptight snots then, if that's the case. No, that's what they are, because they're elitists. Oh, I found it before 50 Shades.
No, but...
You know what? Oh, they can get over
but
it.
But they do this. There
now,
is a reason.
Children, stop fighting.
Yeah, that's nothing you should
have. Have your marital fights outside of the air.
I am not saying yes, ma'am, okay?
But that's the whole thing. Before the movie, before I read the book, before I saw the movie, I did the research about what I call my own pre-Fifty Shades of Grey. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were angry at the books before because the movie was not out yet. But a lot of the thing they say was not true. For instance, some said there is no negotiation. The book is a full negotiation. I mean, the whole book is a negotiation.
Excuse me, but there's an entire contract.
Yeah, the contract is there. Yeah. They explain it well, but some of the websites said they don't explain it. And that's true. And this is it. The problem is there. And the movie, we don't see this as much. And this is one of my beef with the movie.
Right.
Except I enjoyed the movie, despite the fact that I'm not big on 50 Shades of Grey, and I'm quite happy that I read the book and now I can.
I enjoyed the popcorn more, but it was still fun. It was okay. It was a night out. It was fine.
You think when you saw that dungeon in the picture?
I'll tell you that in just a moment.
Okay.
Talking dungeons and everything else BDSM here on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
BDSM tonight on the program, Alternative Sexuality with Pierre and Catherine. Our panelists that join us every month, and of course, we can't not talk about 50 Shades because they haven't been here since the movie came out, so of course, they have to have their... Although you did talk about it on the air here with other people, just not me.
It's not the same
and
without
we did,
you, Laurie.
I understand, but we did say that...
We have to do it.
We're going to do it, but bury it after that.
Oh, yes, thank
and,
you.
And look, people, even people are tired of talking... You know, people don't want to hear about it anymore.
But that's the thing. I thought it would create a much bigger wave than it did. It's in French, we have this saying, you know, un pétard mouillé.
It's like a wet firecracker.
Yeah,
a
wet firecracker. I'm surprised because it was so big.
Look, for a week, you know, it's yesterday's news, right? Like there's not some news comes up every day, something else. And people are focusing on other things. That's just the way it goes. So one person texts in that 50 Shades of Grey movie is terrible with lots of exclamation marks. A lot of people felt it was terrible. I talked about it, you know, in prior shows, and I was with a bunch of girlfriends. We all went. None of us wanted to drag our husbands there, frankly, and punish them. We thought it was punishment for them to go. So we gave them the day off, and we ended up going. My girlfriend fell asleep next to me. She starts snoring. I was like, Daniel, wake up. Wake up. What's going on? She was falling asleep. Anyway, so you know, it wasn't the most exciting thing, but listen, I felt like I had to do it, so it was okay.
Yeah, but look at it.
We all did it.
They did all the marketing on the fact that it was about, you know, domination and BDSM and all that stuff. It's like, if you take, remember the movie Titanic?
Sure.
Let's say if they would have done the marketing saying it's a movie about the boat. Do you think it would have worked that much?
No.
And this is basically the same thing. If you say we're going to do a movie about a relationship, a lot of people are going to go.
How many of those are there already?
So they did. They you know, they use the spectacular stuff, and yeah, it is a wet firecracker.
Right. I like that, the wet firecracker. You asked me about what I thought about the dungeon. First of all, I'd never really seen a dungeon before, except that the everything to do with sex show or
that's
what
not
have
a real
you.
Dungeon.
Is it right. I have not seen your dungeon.
You're invited.
So that's it. So to me, it was like, that's a pretty room with a lot of weird stuff in it, you know, and lots of contraptions and
that's a dungeon
things, and that was it.
See,
was
I
and then
thought
I thought of you guys
rather...
I said, oh, I wonder if Pierre and Catherine's looks like this, and that was it.
Ours is much smaller.
Ours is much smaller. We have a lot more toys in ours, though. I gotta tell you, probably about four times as many.
Well, actually,
we have a whole wall.
When are you going to give us pictures so we can post them on Facebook already?
Right now we want to read
when
the dungeon.
When we can come and we can put your smiling face in front of
them. Oh, no, that's not going to happen.
Well, don't worry.
No.
Standing there, a free consent.
No. Let's.
The way to the door will be open.
Right, no.
Nothing will be blocking
the path. No pictures of me anywhere near there, please. Thank you. BDSM tonight, if there's any questions you have for Pierre and Catherine, do give us a call here on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Do you have questions about BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism, or submission and domination? Now, tonight's the night. Once a month, Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com joins us in studio. And you can always check out their website. They have like 1,000 pages of information there. So really it is the go-to if you have any questions at all. And Pierre is always so gracious to people who email him. And you're always answering all these wonderful questions to our listeners too, who come to you from Passion. And I think it's wonderful. So thank you very much for answering people's questions.
Well, this is why we do it. It's fun. But I can tell you something. Right now we're having a lot of mail.
We meet the
news. We're late answering people because... time is
you're
short.
Well, you're also more and more in the media, I think. So you're having a lot of people contact you now. So you start to get more as the go-to for this topic, it's going to be difficult. You're going to have to start getting other people to answer some of your emails for you.
We're negotiating with a couple of slaves right now. So that takes up a lot of time and effort.
The worst is, because of all of this, we have less time to do BDSM, which is a nightmare.
Isn't that interesting? All the fun. You started all of this because it was fun for you, but now it's like a business.
Money, what's that?
Yeah, I know. If only there was money, right? How fun would that be? One of the things that people have a hard time with, and the thing they ask me the most is, okay, this is sick. There must be something sick about these people. Okay, this is how it's always looked at. So there was such an interesting article following, obviously, 50 Shades that looked at the psychology of BDSM, okay? And that went and looked at, dug up all the studies, mm-hmm. because there have been studies. So if you go back to Freudian days, the answer to the question is, are they sick? His answer would have been, oh, yes. Anyone interested in S&M somehow needed treatment. You know, that was Freud. But
Freud looked at women who like sex.
Well,
back
of course,
then
and
sick,
then
right,
right, exactly. So. And they used vibrators to treat hysteria. And sure,
yeah, hysteria. I was trying to remember.
So,
yeah.
But that's old. So forget that. That's old. But in there's another researcher by the name of Pamela Connolly in 2006. She compared BDSM practitioners to published norms on 10 psychological disorders, and she compared them to a normative sample, so non-BDSM people, and they were all the mm-hmm. same on every other level. And listen to this, BDSM practitioners had lower levels of depression, lower levels of anxiety, lower levels of post-traumatic stress disorder, lower levels of psychological sadism, psychological masochism, borderline pathology, and paranoia. So they were a healthier group versus the normative group, which I thought was interesting. Then in 2013, another study showed up where they compared BDSM practitioners to non-practitioners, again, looking at major personality traits. And their results showed that in comparison to non-practitioners, the BDSM exhibited higher levels of extroversion, higher levels of conscientiousness, openness to, and subjective well-being. Practitioners also showed lower levels of neuroticism, so they were less neurotic, and rejection sensitivity, so they didn't have that as one of their things. The one negative trait that emerged is that BDSM practitioners showed lower levels of agreeableness than non-practitioners.
You're kidding.
What the heck that means?
You know,
I don't know. So isn't that interesting, though, that the majority, when they looked at this, they found that people, practitioners of BDSM, fared better on all of the psychological measures, and this is across several studies.
Well, because you have to negotiate. You have to be self-aware. You have to have thought about what I want and is this okay and make decisions about things.
Be comfortable with yourself, with your own sexuality. Yeah.
And there's a difference between being a sadist, like being sadistic as a that's a disorder. That is a psychiatric mental illness.
Absolutely.
Someone who is sadistic.
I have people ask me all the time if I'm a sadist.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a sexual sadist when it's consensual. And if, first of all, if something wasn't consensual, it's like a cold shower for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
There's no fight.
But there's not, because what, you know, the psychological sadists, if you will, like the sexual sadism disordered
They
people,
get off on being mean.
They get off on being mean, so they don't care about the other person.
No,
they
well,
don't. It's them who gets off. It's,
right.
They don't
well,
care about
you
the
know
other
what?
Person.
I get off on being mean when it's okay.
Well, when the other person wants you to be mean.
Exactly.
Right. They have to want you to be mean.
I don't
want to
be mean to the waitress. That's just nasty. Why would I want to do that? I'd
right.
like to be a nice person.
Right.
But at the same point, if I have a willing person who
the proper
sub. I can be like the mean bully girl for a change. It's fun to be the mean girl sometimes. Hey.
If the other person wants you to be the
well,
mean
that's
girl.
Right. That's when I can be that mean girl because it's consensual.
Right.
And in one of the articles of the website, I describe, I'm talking here about masochists, you know,
mm-hmm.
and a real masochist in theory would have orgasm from any type of pain. But in BDSM, there's a precise type of pain. It has to be sexual. It has to be in a certain environment. It has to be in a mm-hmm. certain way.
In a context.
In a context. Mm-hmm. And I'm describing people that who are BDSM masochists. Not, you're not trying to separate them from the average masochist, if you want.
Right.
And this is really important.
There's a difference between sexual masochism disorder, which is a diagnosis.
Which is a problem,
You know, I mean, that you're talking about something that causes clinically significant distress or impairment. Mm-hmm. That's when it falls within
like Mercury the
diagnostic. That's the sicko part. Exactly. Right. And it's or if it's done with a non-consenting partner, that's when it becomes sick. But, you know, when we're talking about it, something between consenting adults that doesn't cause anybody distress, then they don't fit into the diagnostic and statistical manual of psychiatric disorders. It's not a psychiatric disorder.
No, and here's the line, and I'm going to make it really clear. If you do something with a consensual partner, it's BDSM. If you do it with a non-consensual partner, it's rape. Or whatever,
or masochism, or sadism,
or
whatever
you want to call it. I mean, you have to be put in a hole, and we lose the key. Okay, that line is really clear, and to my great surprise, some people have struggled with that line, and I thought it was black and white. So to be honest,
why do you think they struggle with that line? Do they not understand the concept of consent?
Okay, the me part of BDSM, you know, being a submissive or dominant, you know, the me, the I am. It's really, really, really important. If you have a dom, you have a submissive that, and they have complementary need, okay? Mm-hmm. But even a submissive will want her or his need to be satisfied. And it's really important. If you don't satisfy the need of the submissive, they will find somebody else. So I think sometimes because of that power, that need to satisfy that me part, people lose track of what is consensual, what is black and white, what is, you know, logical. And some people go really far.
Yeah.
And dangerous. I mean, I'm on
some people just get caught up in the power.
Oh, man.
Because I'll tell you, I have had submissive and slaves give me so much power that it, you know, I have to be the one to say, you know, to stop.
That's enough.
Right. Yeah. I have in scenes.
So do you find that is psychologically unhealthy?
It is.
That could be a problem. So you kind of have to pick out. Don't you as the dominant 100%. Have to pick up on when somebody kind of needs psychological help?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Before,
in fact, this is part of what the pre-negotiation is, and like what I'm doing right now with several, is I want to talk to them. Do I want to know if they're mentally stable? Because although part of what I do is I actually work in a partnership, mm-hmm. and part of that is self-improvement. Okay, so there are psychological aspects that I work with the submissive. I have a psychological authority over them, okay, which is kind of hard to understand for a lot of people. But it may be, you know what, the person wants to quit smoking. So I'm going to start them on a, you know, you cut down. Today you're allowed this many cigarettes or blah, 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 whatever it is. Whatever.
Right. You're controlling them for self-improvement.
Yes
exactly. Uh-huh. So, you know, it's commonly to lose weight. It's to quit smoking. It's to
change
eat healthier.
Behavior.
Many of us then need that.
and you know what? There's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's really successful, right?
If you do, they do good. You reward them with their fetish, whatever it can be. You know, if they
if you come to my house and you're supposed to have at least stayed the same weight and you. Yeah, you put on weight. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to say go. I'll just look at you and say go. Mm-hmm. And there's not much that you can do that's crueler.
Right, to a submissive.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
More information. If you have questions, do give us a call here, 514-790-0800. I'm Dr. Lori Battito in with the BDSM Circle folks right here on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Battito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Tonight on the program, talking with Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com. We talk about kinky sex once a month. We focus on that and answer my questions, your questions, all the questions that come up. And one of the things we're talking about is, besides the whole 50 Shades, which we've pretty much buried, so thank you. It's all underground now. It's
handcuffed
and underground, so that's it. It's over. But the whole idea of sickness, the whole idea between healthy,
the line
between what is, you know, because a lot of people, when they think of kink and they think of BDSM, they think, oh, those people must be sick. Now, we know that's not true because science, the studies that have done, Right. I mean, they're just as sick as anybody else might be in the regular population. But what's interesting is the studies that I have looked into, multiple studies have shown, in fact, the opposite, that practitioners of BDSM might actually be healthier on many factors, psychological factors. So that's an interesting point for me to understand. However, I'm pretty sure you end up face to face with some sick people.
Well, hopefully we beat them out before it's face to face.
So how do you know when somebody is of sound mind and a practitioner that you would want to engage with because they are, you know, with it together, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah. And how do I know when they're not?
Yeah, how do you know when they're not?
Sometimes there's just that little hinky, something's off. Other times it's how they answer emails. They will often get really anxious, where it's like, well, you know, I wrote you yesterday. How come you haven't written me? And it's like, that's a sign.
Okay.
Okay. There's also, I talked to them about a lot of different aspects of their life. Like, are they financially stable? Do you pay your bills? Mm-hmm. Are you able to pay all your bills? Then why are you living there if you can't? So, I mean, there's things where I want to know, and it's not because I want money from them, just to be clear.
Right. Yeah, you don't take money.
There's no money.
Right.
But I want to make sure they're financially stable and they're functioning parts of society. Mm-hmm. Are they working? Can you hold down a job? Have, you know.
So you do your own kind of evaluation.
I do. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, you talk to them for a while and you start to talk to them about their views about why they're in BDSM.
Ah, okay.
And that's where some people have some really weird ideas.
So share those with us, because I want to know what you actually learn when you ask that question.
Okay, let me go here.
Yeah, let Pierre go.
Wait.
Shut up, Catherine. That's what he wants to say, right?
I had a lady who wanted S&M, and when I started to talk to her, I asked her why. She told me that, well, she's a bad person and she needs to be punished. I thought at the beginning it was like kind of a joke.
Okay.
But talking to her, I discovered that she really had problem about herself.
Her self-esteem.
Esteem.
Okay.
And at some point I said, no, I won't do that, because this is not what you need. It's just going to make it worse.
And the worst part is she's going to find one of those dominants, because there's different kinds
who's
of dominants.
Who's going to do it?
And there are dominants that they look for the weak. They look for the vulnerable. They look for the person who's a doormat to anybody. You know what? I look for the opposite. I want somebody to submit to me because they decide they want to submit to me, not because they're a pushover and a doormat. What is it worth then? It's nothing. They're like that to everybody.
But isn't that interesting what Pierre brings up? That, you know, that example
absolutely.
Of a woman who says, I'm a bad person and I'm here because I want you to punish me for it. In other words,
man.
You know, looking for somebody to hit me so that I would be punished because I have this belief that I'm bad. What turn-on factor is there in that?
None.
Exactly.
And you were talking at the beginning of the show of people who abuse emotionally.
That's abuse. Yeah.
That's abuse. And
even if she's asking for it, it's like,
oh, absolutely.
No, because she's going to find someone who's
abusing herself.
Sexy. Yeah, no. And she's going to find someone who's going to abuse her that way. And I have a problem with this. And this is how you discover some of the men who wrote Catherine. They said to her that she could kill them if she wanted to. And
there's actually a whole kink. A whole little, it's a group in France, from France, and I can't think of it right now, but the kink is that they're killed.
Okay, but not for real.
Well, hopefully, they would, that'd be great, that's their fantasy.
That's their fantasy.
That's their fantasy.
That somebody should kill them.
That's
but
right.
This is what they ask.
And that...
That sounds pretty sick to me.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, I write back saying, no, the whole idea is to live to play another day.
Right.
You know? There are people who are really unbalanced. And when some of their phobias, because that's one of the things I need to talk to people about, is their phobias.
Mm-hmm.
And phobias are pretty interesting things. And that will tell you so much about a person. And, you know, there's people who, you know, oh, I don't like spiders. Yeah, okay. And then there's some where it's like, you got to think, where did that come from? Like, I remember the one that would freak out and was terrified, like freaking, of cotton ball.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. And you know how...
A fear of a cotton ball?
Right. And if you take a cotton ball and you kind of like put it through your fingers, you can kind of like make it squeak.
Oh, really?
Okay.
I don't play with cotton
balls.
Well,
I hadn't because it was after he told me this. It was like, oh my God, and when they squeak. And I'm like, when they what? and you can't actually do that. And of course, you know, the mean part of me just wanted to tie him up and do that to him, but of course I didn't.
Right. Well, that's the thing, is being aware that somebody has a sickness in some way, right? Because that fear,
well,
phobia
you
is a
know
fear.
What you're going to trigger, right? Too, and that's part of the reason is because there's some people. You know what? When it's actually happening, they're not enjoying it that much.
Right. I just wonder sometimes if that kind of
think about it.
If that kind of behavior couldn't even possibly trigger some kind of psychotic episode. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Triggers are very important. And actually, I'm having a discussion with a lady from another continent about this. And for her, the triggers, because of the way she was raised, she has problem with her. She's interested in BDSM, but the triggers prevent her from being in BDSM.
Well, she's Muslim as well. Well, so that she has
she's
religious
Muslim, religious constraints. To that. Sure.
But
that,
these triggers are very important, because if you have somebody who has actually a problem, a mental problem, you have to know what these triggers are, because what happens if you hit a trigger while they're bound and stuff like this and they start freaking out?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's where, to me,
well,
you know,
to
you're
really
treading on.
Well, you go slow. Yeah. You don't do a full-blown scene with somebody you start with. You go slow. You tie their hand first. And
yeah,
then
that's it exactly. And when you first start with somebody, they're often, it's like the first two or three plays, to be honest, you don't do too much. You don't go very far.
Right.
It's all little testing, right?
It's a test.
How are they when I put a blindfold on them? How are they when I did this?
And herein lies the problem with, I'm bringing it back now to the phenomenon of 50 Shades, is how why people got into trouble.
Because
why
they want to do it all
they,
in one
they
scene.
Go, right. They go into the extreme and then they get themselves
and they get hurt.
And
but
I
also,
said,
if you like it, where else is there to go?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of nuances in BDSM, and I'm not talking about the movie here. There's all kind of stuff you can do. So my message here is, you try something, do the research first. Because if you hit someone and you hurt someone, you're responsible.
Right. And this is all about consent and responsibility.
Thank you.
Big words. You're listening to BDSM Tonight on Passion on CJD 800.
You're listening to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, the podcast. Hear the show live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD 800.
Couple of last words with Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle. So what is happening in your community? You usually have events and things like that.
We've been so busy that we don't have time to organize munch stuff like this. And
no.
And people write to us, when's the next munch? I don't know.
Just for people who don't know, munch for them is just a brunch munch, eating at a restaurant. And
yeah, together, having fun.
Just to get together. Together. Right.
Yep.
No BDSM involved, by the way.
Just talk.
And they're asking me when we give more workshop, and it's, we don't know.
You don't have time. I know. That's part of the problem.
How do you do it?
Well, you just do what you got to do. I'm really good with time management, apparently. But it's true. I mean, look, you both have regular jobs and, you have got a lot of other things going on. So.
Okay. Now, we bury the damn thing.
We like to do some, BDSM once in a while,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
that takes up time.
You
want to
play, too, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So we buried the damn thing.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Happy you can breathe now? Go home now. You're okay? You can sleep tonight. All done, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for both being here. And thanks to Dave Simon and Master Control for handling all those buttons over there. If you need to reach me, passion@cjad.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at Dr. Lori Petito, or also on Facebook, same name. Next on CJD News, followed by Joey Elias and The Comedy Show. Have a wonderful rest of the night, and please remember, life is short, so do take the time to smell the flowers and indulge your passions.
Listen to Passion with Dr. Lori Petito, live weeknights 10 to 11 on CJAD and CJAD.com.